Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. This article is concerning Satan. We believe that Satan is real. I don't think anybody would doubt that. Satan is real. He is the author of sin. God is not the author of sin, although God did create Satan. God is not the author of sin. Satan is the cause of the fall of man. Satan is an open and declared enemy of God and man, and that Satan shall be eternally punished in the lake of fire. Tonight we have 4 points we'd like to talk about. Number one is that Satan is real. Number two is that Satan is the author and the cause of sin. Number three, Satan is the enemy of God. And number four, the final end of Satan. All right. So let's read Isaiah chapter 45. The Bible said here in verse 7, God is talking to Cyrus. And, of course, this is a double prophecy. Some of this prophecy is concerning Cyrus. Some of it is going to be concerning Satan himself. But in verse 7, here's what God said. Well, in verse 5, you can see He says, I am the Lord. So you know it's the Lord talking. And He says in verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, I pray, Lord, that You might watch over this message tonight, that Your will might be done and Your name praised. And Lord, I trust, Lord, that we understand these things about Satan from Your word, that we might be able to rightly divide Your word and teach it Your way. I pray, Lord, for wisdom about how to do all of that. And Lord, I know that You're able to give. Grant, Lord, that souls will be saved and the saved will be strengthened. Forgive for our sins, for Lord, we need You today. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I don't think that anybody could doubt that God is God and that Satan is Satan. At least tonight, the ones that are here. There might be some folks out in the world that would doubt that. God said here in verse 7, I formed the light, and He did. He also created darkness. He also says here in verse 7, I make peace and I create evil, and He did. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And that's absolutely the truth. When you look at this, you say, well, God created evil. Well, I don't think He's saying here that God is the author of evil the same way that Satan is. Rather, I think what He's saying is that that God here has created evil things in order to judge the sin of mankind. I think that's one thing that He's talking about here in this place. Satan is the one that is very, very absolutely real. As I begin this tonight, I want to make this statement right off. Our problem, I'm talking to us that are saved, our problem is not necessarily with Satan so much. I know he has a bearing on us. But it is not always Satan that makes us do the bad thing. Sometimes it's our own sinful nature that we yield to. And of course, Satan does use those things. But at the same time, we can't blame our wrongdoing on Satan, because it's us that's got the sinful nature. And it's we're the ones going to be following him instead of following God. So let's just note that that's so. First point is this. Know that Satan is real. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. And he is real. He is real. Notice that in the book of Job chapter 1 that Satan was real when he appeared before God to ask the favor of tormenting righteous Lot. That's in the book of Job chapter 1. Now, you can look at this place and you can say, well, you know, I really don't think that's a real story. Well, you're welcome to say that the whole story is not real if you want to, but the story is real. I mean, it happened just like it says here. And here is what the Bible said in verse 6 of Job chapter 1. He says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I wonder what happened. I think that what happened was that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord in a worship service, and Satan also came along. I think that's what happened. Was that real? Yes. You say, well, was Satan actively there? Yes, he was actively there in physical presence. And we'll notice this about Satan, and just kind of notice these things in passing, that Satan has to get permission from God to do anything. That shows us who's the most powerful. But it also shows us this, that Satan had to come before the Lord. In other words, he is not omnipotent, omnipresent at all, but Satan was in one place and then came to another place. And so we find that about him. Notice this, not only was Satan real when he appeared here before God to torment Job, but Satan is real when he aspired to sit upon the throne of God in Isaiah 14. Now look at this passage. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, I believe this actually happened one day. I think it was about 6,000 years ago when this actually took place, Isaiah chapter 14. And I'll tell you in a little bit why I think all of that kind of thing. Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, here is an actual event that happened to an actual angel. Here, this created one from God, and his name is Lucifer. Verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, I believe that actually took place, that Satan actually came to the place of rebelling against God, that he is a real Satan. He was a real angel, and he fell away from serving God and aspired to lift up himself above God. I believe this. I believe that Satan was real when he appeared to Jesus Christ and tempted him after that 40 days. I believe that really took place, that there was a warfare there between Satan and God, and that Satan showed himself that he was real. But moreover this, I believe in Revelation 20 and verse 10, when Satan is cast into the lake of fire, that that is also a real event. Amen. I believe that Satan is real. He is alive right now. He is doing all he can to destroy everything about God and us that he can possibly destroy. All right? And then, of course, our sinful nature is working on the other end. But let's go back here in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. And let's see here that this was an actual event that took place about 6,000 years ago. You say, well, just exactly where did all that fit in? Here's what I believe. I believe that Isaiah chapter 14, this event in verse 13 and verse 14 actually took place between Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. All right? You say, well, how in the world can you ever come down to that? Well, it's really, really very simple. If you would, look back at this. The book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, and you know this passage very well. Here, at this place, at the end of creation, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that when God inspected his creation, everything was very good. At that point, Satan had not fallen away into sin. He had not rebelled against God. He was still on God's side. But there's going to come a day when he is going to rebel against God. Well, say, how much time goes by? I don't think it's very long. I do not know exactly the time when Satan in chapter 3 and verse 1 came before the woman and began to be deceptive to her. I don't know exactly how long went by between creation and Genesis chapter 3, but I don't think it's very long. I just don't think it was very long at all. And here, Satan came along and deceived this woman, and then, of course, sin came into the world. But in the beginning, when God created all this world, he created it just exactly right. I know also this, There are those people that believe that between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that there's millions of years in there. I know there's a lot of people that believe that, and a lot of people that claim to be scientific believe that. But I don't believe a word of that at all. I really don't. I cannot believe that simply because the Bible doesn't say that at all. But a lot of people believe between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that there was this millions of years of time, and that was the time when Satan was cast out of heaven and came down to the earth and tore it all up, and then there was a recreation took place beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. I don't believe that. I believe there was a creation beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that continues all the way down to the end of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. That's all one long event, all right? I mean, that's what I believe about that. Say, well, I don't know where your proof is. Well, I won't be able to preach all that tonight because that's a different subject altogether. But I do want you to know this, that when God created this world, there was no death. There was no sin. There was no rebellion against Him. Because God said it's all very good. And death is a result of sin. There we are. God did not create any of that. It came along. The evil is there, as it says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7. The evil is there. Did God create death? Why, no, but the evil is there as a result of sin. There we have it, you see. And so, there are some things that are just results. But notice that God has created the north. God created the south. That's what the Bible tells us. Do you know why there's a north and a south? Say, well, we have to have directions. Listen, there's a north and there's a south because God made it. There's an east and a west because God made it, right? I mean, that's the way that it is. God made it like that. It was God that made the light. It's God that made the darkness. It is God that has made the waster to destroy. Look here. In the book of Isaiah 54, Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 16. Isaiah 54 and verse 16. Somebody said, wow, how close can you get? Listen, we must understand this. That God knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know about. He knows it all. God has created Satan, but He did not create Satan to be evil. He gave him that ability, just like He did many angels and just like He has us. But He does not intend for us to be evil. When we are, we pay the consequence. Isaiah 54 and verse 16 says, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. Say, what in the world is that talking about the devil? Listen, this goes along with Isaiah 45 and verse 7, where it says there that God not only created the light and the darkness, He makes peace, and He also created evil. God has made the waster to destroy. He has. You say, oh, it's talking about the devil. He's made the devil. There's no doubt about that, but He didn't make him to be the devil. Okay? Besides that, did you know that God made the kingdom of Babylon to be strong so they could come down and take over Jerusalem? He made the waster to destroy. He did that because of sin and because of rebellion. All of that so, and then turned around and saved Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's a great story right there on its own. And so, God has created everything that there is, and they are created for the very pleasure of God Himself. He did not create Satan to be evil, but Satan became evil of his own freedom, of his own will, his own doing what he wanted to do. The fact is, God's created everything. He has. He's created everything that there is, and everything we see has been created by God. Everything we see with has been created by God too. Everything you can touch has been created by God. And the ability to touch has been created by God. And the ability to feel has been created by God. God has done all of these things. And He's well able to do it. So let's not ever think that He didn't. But get this one. In Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible said that God raised up Pharaoh for the sole purpose of showing the power of God. That's in Exodus chapter 9. And just read that passage. And you can see the very power of God in all of these things that He's doing for us. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16. Here is what God says concerning Pharaoh. Exodus 9:16, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." God's done that. And God's done the same thing for Satan. He is very, very well able to do it. Now, so the time of Satan's fall was about 6,000 years ago. That time is between Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. Satan, you see, I'm going to point number 2 here. Satan is the author of sin, and he is the cause of the fall of man into sin. That's just the way that it is. His aspirations are toward wickedness. In Genesis chapter 3, it was Satan that came to deceive the woman because he didn't even try to mess with a man. It was Satan who took the form of the serpent in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3 and said, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And so here, the deception took place, and the woman believed what Satan was saying, and sin and death has come into all the world. We're living in a time of a great warfare between Satan and God, and we're kind of caught in the middle of this thing. But we can be victorious if we'll simply trust what God is telling us. We can be victorious and know that it's so. Satan is the author of sin, and Satan is the cause of the fall of man into sin. Remember, God created everything, but God did not create anything of itself to be wicked. But sometimes those things are used for wickedness. We read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through verse 14 concerning there the fall of Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28 is also a double prophecy, just like the book of Isaiah chapter 14. The book of Ezekiel chapter 28. In this place, the message has been written to the king of Tyrus. But of course, this is also a double prophecy concerning not only the things that will happen to the king of Tyrus and the city of Tyre as it did, but it's also a prophecy concerning the things that are going to take place with Satan himself. That's the secondary prophecy, and it absolutely is so. Look with me here in Ezekiel chapter 28 and beginning in verse 11, and you'll see how this double prophecy works here. Verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God." Now, who's he writing to? The king of Tyrus. "Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Look in verse 13. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the king of Tyrus. But it's a double prophecy concerning Satan himself. And of course, the end of it all. Here, look in verse 14, he says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." That was upon the holy mountain of God. "Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." I mean, he's been right there in heaven. That's what he's saying. So, well, the king of Tyrus is never there. It's a double prophecy talking about not only the king of Tyrus, how he's been receiving all these good things from God, but now you're going away. Verse 15, "That was perfect in thy ways." And of course, God created him and he was perfect. "From the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. And he goes on and talks about the multitude of thy merchandise. They have filled the midst of thee with violence. And of course, that's what happened. And thou hast sinned. And there's a prophecy there concerning Tyrus and how that they're going to fall, but also concerning Satan and how he's going to be destroyed. Look in verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about that. You see, it's a double prophecy concerning how Satan is going to fall away. Notice, Satan has dominion of this world. We're talking here about Satan is the author of sin and how that Satan is the cause of the fall of man into sin. He was created upright, but he went away from God and he aspired to sit in the sides of the north, and he's going to be cast down to the sides of the earth. And the kings of the earth shall come along and say, is this the one? Why are we worried about him? When they look at God and they compare him in those days, my God is so much greater altogether. Notice that this world has been given over into the hand of Satan. This is just the truth. Look here in the book of Job, chapter 9. And, you know, any time that you read the book of Job, you need to be careful about who's talking. I found out a while back that sometimes what's written down in the book of Job, if somebody other than Job says it, it might not be true. You know, and the Bible records what those people said when they told a lie. Just like it recorded what Satan said to Eve there in the Garden of Eden. And Job chapter 9 and verse 24, here's what the Bible says, and here's what Job says, so I believe that it's so. I think he was closer to the point here than we are today. Job 9, verse 24. He says, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? And so he's talking there about how that Satan does have control and dominion over all things that here are here upon this earth. But notice what it says, and keep your place here in the book of Job, and turn to Psalms 24 and verse 1. Psalms 24 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says also. And when I read these two passages, I begin to think, well, my, here's a contradiction in the Bible. But let's just check it out. Job 9, verse 24, we read that place. Now let's read Psalms 24 and verse 1. The Bible said, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. In one place, it says that the earth belongs to the Lord. In another place, it says that the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Here's the thing you got to remember, that Satan has to always go to God and ask permission. He always has to get permission. When Satan wanted to afflict Job, he had to go before God and say, God, is it okay? And if God would have said, you leave him alone, the devil couldn't have touched him. That's just the way it is, you see. So the earth is the Lord's, but this has been given over into the hand of Satan. And he is now the prince and the power of the air. There is no doubt. The world's been given over into his hands. Temporarily, Satan dominates it, but he's subject to the limitations that God imposes upon him. Notice this. And you know, of course, that Satan has a kingdom that's coming. We sing a song sometimes, you know, the kingdom is coming, and it is. That's God's kingdom, but Satan's got one too that's coming. The book of Luke, I think this one makes it very, very clear that Satan has control of this world, and he has this kingdom. The book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, during the temptation of Christ, here is what Satan said to Jesus Christ. And what Satan said was absolutely the truth. Jesus did not deny it. He knows that it's the truth. Luke chapter 4, the Bible says here in verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, that said unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, that goes back to what we read there in the book of Job chapter 9, verse 24, and in Psalm 24, verse 1. I mean, the world's been given over into the hand of Satan only as God allows him to exercise his authority that he has been given. That's just the way it is. Notice another passage here, the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible here records Satan as being the prince and the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the devil. I mean, that's who he is. This world has been given over into his hand. And that's the way it is. Wow. What do you think? But we're living in this place. I think it's time to panic and run. Huh? Let me read you this passage. The book of Psalms 76. Psalm 76. We would panic and run if it were not that the Word of God says some things that Satan is absolutely limited. God is the one that's in control, but he's turned this world over to the devil. So why has he done all that? God's going to get glory out of the whole thing when it's all said and done. Psalm 76 and verse 10. I love this passage. It said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Psalm 76, verse 10. Isn't that a good verse? You don't have to worry about the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? We don't have to worry about the devil. Yes, he's got dominion of this world and all of that, but we don't have to worry about that. I'll tell you something else. Did you know the devil's got his children in this world? They are, and we can't tell who they are. We really can't. Why, if I was living back in the times of the Apostle Paul, when this fellow was going about killing Christians, I would say, that man is a child of the devil. Wouldn't you? But he wasn't. He wasn't. Yeah, I know the devil's got his. Look here in the book of Matthew chapter 13. The devil has people in this world that belong to him, and they go about to do his bidding, and that is exactly what they're going to do. And we're living among them. Say, my, we better be scared to death. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look here. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, here in this, beginning in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, dost not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both go together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You know who the tares are? The children of the devil. That's what he says right here in verse 37 of the interpretation of it. He said, the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy is the devil. We find there that the devil and God are enemies. Well, I should say it like this. The devil is the enemy of God. I should say it like that. They don't get along. You know, and that's just the way it's going to be. There are those that are in the enemy of God, there are those that are the enemy of Satan. Which side are you on? You can't be on one side or the other. I mean, that's it. You gotta get it all figured out where you're going to be. And so there are those tares. There are those people that are the children of the devil that's in this world. Wow. They got a 666 stamped on their forehead, right? No, you can't tell who they are, can you? You can't tell by looking at them who they are. No, you just can't tell. We need to preach the gospel and let God take care of all the rest of it. We know this. Satan is the prince and power of this world, and it is our place to wrestle against him. Okay, look in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6. This wrestling that we do is not with people, but rather it is with the prince of this world. It is with the darkness of this world. Ephesians chapter 6 here, and he says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Boy, we can get that through our head. We don't fight people. We don't. We don't fight people at all. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, wow, how long is that going to last? From now on. As long as we're alive, it's going to last. This battle is going to go on. Not only do we have the battle of our own human nature that we must battle against, but also we have the battle on the outside. We sure need friends on the inside, don't we? We have friends and a place to worship God. We need that very much, very much so. Satan here is the prince and the power of the air, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against people, but we stand for the truth. We'll always try not to get mad at folks. But you might as well not like what they do if they're doing wrong. You know, you might as well, if wrong is wrong, and right is right. But let's try not to get mad at people, because God knows who the enemy is. All we know is that they're people. And I hope we know we're one too. We also have a human nature. Satan, while we battle of all of this, Satan has been given the authority by God to accuse us. To accuse us. Look in the book of Revelation chapter 12. Satan does accuse us. He picks out things about us that we do that's wrong to accuse us before an almighty God. Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says here in verse 9, Satan is, as we read there in the book of Job chapter 1, verse 9, he is going into the place where God is. He was going there to accuse Job. Do you not think he's going to accuse us? Are we better than Job? Not hardly. He did accuse Job. He will accuse us. Revelation 12 and verse 9, the Bible said, "And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." I wonder who that's talking about. I think that's talking about the devil, and it looks real clear. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, and heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.'" Even when you're sleeping, you're being accused. Wow, he's got plenty of ammunition, don't he? The devil's got plenty of ammunition to use against us. But you know, in every case, when that comes up, look in verse 11. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death." Yeah. Satan's got plenty of ammunition, but we got the blood of the Lamb of Christ. That takes, well, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have anything at all to stand on. We'd be in terrible, terrible trouble. So I'm thankful that we have that. Well, and I'm going to just say this point in passing, because we had the point down here that Satan is the open and declared enemy of God and man. Of course, I read in Matthew chapter 13 concerning how that it was the enemy of God that sowed the seed, the tares. And I'm going to let it go like that, because I've said many, many things. I don't want to just cover the same thing over and over again here. But next, and our final point, what is the end result of Satan? Where is he going? What's going to happen to him? Okay? What's going to happen to the devil? Now let's start in the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's start here at this place and let's look at what's going to happen to the demons. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29. Here's what's going to happen to the demons. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out. Now here are these two demons, these two men that are possessed with these devils, many of them, and they cry out and say, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Now that tells me what's going to happen to the demons, and they know it. They know that they're going to be tormented one of these days. They also know there is a time when that torment is supposed to take place. They also know that the time is not yet. They know quite a bit. They know who's going to do it. They call on Jesus. "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" So they know a lot about it. Satan knows what's going to happen to him. He knows where he's headed, just as sure as the demons know where they're headed. And the devil knows today that he's got but a little time. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, they know that it's coming. Revelation chapter 12, we didn't read that verse when we was there, we probably should have. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. I have the wrong passage down. Pardon? 12:12. There you go. I wrote down the wrong one. That's my computer, it does that every now and then. Revelation, amen, preach on about them computers, they're terrible things. Revelation 12:12. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Well, he knows it. And so he's doing all in the world that he can do to destroy this world, to destroy whatever. But in the process of time, God, and I put it like this, God is going to lock Satan in his room for 1,000 years. He's going to lock him in his room. So you go in there and just sit. So he's locked up in the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 20. In verse 12, the Bible said here, Revelation 20 and verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great." Whoop. Revelation, that's verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." If you look here in Revelation chapter 9, you'll find here in this place that here this fifth angel sounds. This is the fifth trumpet during the tribulation period, and here this angel has the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And it goes on and talks about how that they have a king of the bottomless pit, and the name is Apollyon, which means destroyer. It's also, that's in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 9. "They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew Abaddon, but in the Greek his name is Apollyon." That means one is a destroyer and the other is destruction. The king means a leader. Satan is a leader, the bottomless pit. That's where his home is. That's where his home is now. He's a prince in the power of the air, roaming around. Satan's going to be turned loose out of the bottomless pit at the end of the 1,000-year reign. The Bible talks about that. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. There's going to be a time during the millennial reign when Jesus Christ is going to rule this world with a rod of iron. There is going to be peace enforced. It's going to be enforced. You say, well, during the millennial reign, there won't be any rebellion. Yes, there will. But the peace will be enforced by an almighty God with a rod of iron who says, you get the plagues. If you don't come up here, if you don't do right, I'll just take care of you where you live. That's what I'll do. There won't be a soldier die either fighting that battle. But Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7, when that 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And boy, the people flock to the devil. He gives them this time. Think of that. There's been a period of 1,000 years of absolute peace upon earth. And when the devil is turned loose, he goes out to deceive. People follow him because that's their nature. They follow him. And they die at the battle of Gog and Magog. And then the Bible tells us there when that battle is ended, that Satan is cast into that lake of fire. That's in verse 9. They went out from the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. That's going to happen at the end of the millennial reign, 1,000 years from now. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, burned them up. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He's never going to get out. That's his end. That's his end. Why? Because it's rebellion against God. We find also that at the great white throne judgment, it's going to take place right there in verse 11. That all the lost are also cast into that lake of fire. Then the next thing we see is in verse 21, where there's a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that's going to be a great and a marvelous time. Satan right now has his day. His day is right now. It's not going to be tomorrow. You know, after Christ comes back in the millennial reign, he's going to be cast in the bottomless pit, there retained for that 1,000 years. When that time is over, he's going to be cast in the lake of fire. Just about as quick as that. See, how long is it going to take to deceive all the nations? I don't know how long that's going to take. But does it really make any difference? Because the end of Satan is that he's going to be cast into that lake of fire. Well, I hope tonight, and I trust that you've understood some of these things that have been said about Satan, where he come from, and that he is a sinner, because he followed his own sinful nature. He followed that his own free will. And he himself is the author of sin. Jesus made him, God made Satan, but he didn't make him to be Satan. Satan became Satan because of his own free will and his own actions in that. But he's going to face the judgment of his own actions. He's going to face calamity one of these days because he's done what he wanted to do. He didn't want to submit himself to God. And he's caused a lot of havoc upon this earth, a lot of chaos that God's took a lot of blame for. But one of these days, it'll all be over. It really will all be over. Well, if you're tonight, you're lost. I pray that God will bless you tonight, that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. I do. I pray that God will bless you tonight. If you're sitting there and you've thought about it, you think you can't be saved? Listen, tonight you can be, because Jesus said, I'll save you. If you come to me, I'll save you. It's what he said. And he never told a lie. He told the truth. If you come to him, he'll save your soul. Come to him as a lost sinner. I pray God will bless you tonight. Let's stand, if you would, Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. I pray God would bless each one. Let's stand, if you would, as we sing this hymn.